Blog Talk Radio.
Window of the days, zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave. Take a look through the window of the days, zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave.
A generation raised on fast food, soaking poisons from the glass tube. Biochip ingredients that pass through your ventricles, coagulate into antenna. Receive the frequency from the valley of Gehenna. The spell sent intangibly, they hell bent to handle me. Abandon the identity, impose that nativity. Machiavellian strategies, evade social captivity. Disappear from the grid, survive the problem visibly. Passport locked on the radar, so you can't stray far before the satellite locates ya. Can't deviate, the system rehabilitates ya. Can't self-navigate, they polluted your human nature. Rejuvenate your thunder, arise from your slumber. Fraudulence surrounds us, haven't you ever wondered why evil evolves rich and righteous remains poor? You need a reminder, they're kicking in your door.
Take a look through the window of the days, zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave. Take a look through the window of the days, zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page.
Yeah.
Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave.
Yeah.
The whole world is a stage, greatest story ever told. Left the world in a blaze, pray to your soul a deity. Transcend space-time repeatedly. Fools, mass media deceiving me. Teach the scenery, post-Cold War era. Post-9-11 terror, Bush era. Took cheddar, burnt bodies. Waterboard torture for a hobby. Illuminati, skull and bone scroll policy. Fabric of lies from sheep's wool turn gold. Shit from the naked truth, wicked heart turn cold. Lost soul in modern Babylon, ground hollow. Be thy name, kingdom come, I'm in one with the shadow. A death in the valley, as dry bones get carried, performing last rites on mics for sun gladly. Zeitgeist, spirit of the age moving past me. Couldn't see it till it outlasted me. Just ask me. Take a look through the window of the days. Zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave. Take a look through the window of the days. Zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the future's in the grave.
I can't believe in lies, I see the truth in the demon's eyes. For centuries they deprived all believers' minds. To leave them blind, use faith to manipulate. Shift to hate so lives can disintegrate. Keep your focus on the vision brought by Peter Joseph. The bloodline so thick it clots like hemoglobin. Keep you open to the fact, wolfing keep clothing. This got the real agenda, you need to keep scoping. Twin tower, kamikaze, plow, time of power. Minds devoured by the gunpowder. Dark stun shower. Known to rain on the weak mental. Political entities strain on the peace hateful. Thoughts and actions, pawns, assassins, armed with Gatlins. Muslims, Turks, and Anglo-Saxons. Americans with the full metal jackets. Rage war on a line out of fashion.
Take a look through the window of the days. Zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave. Take a look through the window of the days. Zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave.
Beware of the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age that had your mind lost in the maze of confusion. The mental had your subconscious trapped in the matrix of power. Man-made plays, created AIDS, ignorance, socialism, racism, religion, fascism, capitalism, blind your vision of overstanding while the illusion of democracy covers up modern-day communism, false flag terrorism, fable enemies orchestrated by satanic worshippers that prey upon pagan images. An esoteric agenda was created by Masonic members, covert operations designed by the corporatocracy to spread economic globalization, the formalization of the World Bank and IMF, economic hitmen, trained assassins, the Bilderberger and Rothschild, JP Morgan, Rockefeller, banking cartels, bankrupt the Federal Reserve Systems, caused by the fractional reserve system. The recession creates the Great Depression. The stock market crashed like a nuclear blast. The American people feel the aftermath from the collapse of the economy. The zeitgeist, the heist of the 21st century.
Yeah. take a look through the window of the days. Zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave. Take a look through the window of the days. Zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave.
Your workday increase the vacation time to utilize the mind full potential. Be a ghost. lesson. A blessing will it be when the meek inhabit the planet with no deprivation. The weather gets no application fee. Just grab you a copper, you're the best that money can't buy. This is the future by design.
But before we go in, I'm going to call in my co-host, Brother L. Grand Sheik, are you here?
Yes, sir. Holiday, Washita East. Peace and love. An honor to you, God. How you doing?
How you doing?
Fine, God. Wonderful.
All right, all right. Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. We're going to be going into some current events tonight. First topic, of course, is Brother Bobby Hemming. We want to send as much love to the brother. About a week ago, he had a massive stroke, and of course, he's been hospitalized, and he's rest in a ICU unit or ICU. And we want to show our support, you know, to Brother Bobby for that he has given to us, as well as also, you know, let us all flow to his wife Linda, you know, show forth your donations and our unity. And if you need to, send a donation to Linda Latin. That's Linda, Latten, 1766 Roger Avenue, Southwest Atlanta, Georgia. That is 1766 Roger, R-O-D-G-E-R-S, Roger Avenue, Southwest Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. So once again, that's Linda Latin. That's Linda, Latten, 1766 Roger, Rodgers Avenue, AVE, dot Southwest, capital S, capital W, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's 30310. So we want to send out our shout outs to Brother Bobby Hemming for doing such a wonderful job, you know, as I know he will continue to do. So send forth your energies to the brother so he can heal quickly. And I'm pretty sure he's going to have some devastating things in order to say to us.
Yeah.
Right? I went into a meditation not too long ago. Matter of fact, it was about a day or so afterwards. I was building with building with one of the sisters on Facebook about my brother Bobby, and I was telling her what was being said thus far about him being in the ICU unit. So I went into a meditation for about 45 minutes, and I was looking for his spirit, but I didn't find him, you know, in other words, his spirit per se, until I went to the hospital. You know, I mentally remote viewed to the hospital, and I seen Brother Bobby, spirit near the body. So that's telling me that he wants to live. So keep pulling forth those energies, you know, towards Brother Bobby, you know what I'm saying? For the body can be well enough in order for him to get back in and do what he needs to do on this earthly plane. All right. You know, I didn't want to talk too much about it, but that is one of the things in which that took place. You know, of course, then again, all the energies in which that is being sent and thus been sent this past week definitely will keep him drawn or close to the body, you know, because there's a lot of power, you know, with the power of thought, and the people are sending forth, I know, the energy, and we need more of it, you know, in that case. I know Y'all might have heard Bobby speak about the fact that, and he done many of tapes and DVD videos, whatever, on, you know, on the science of God. And of course, I'm thinking and feeling that that's not the way to go out. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You want to go, you know, let it go out, you know, naturally. I've heard Bobby speak about that before. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like you taking yourself out or committing suicide or, you know, or that type of thing. So send forth your energy and, you know, help Brother Bobby, you know what I'm saying, on his mission, you know what I'm saying, so he can continue on teaching and gathering information and getting that out to the people. I first got one of it from Brother Wanik from down in Atlanta, Georgia, worked for WRFG. I used to work with him there years ago, back in the late 90s. And also from Baba Phil Valentine. They were the ones in which that first put the information out on Facebook as far as Brother Bobby was concerned. So therefore, I just want to add that in there too. But we want to get into another topic right here in which that we're dealing with the assassination of Malcolm X or Malik El-Haj El-Shabazz.
All right.
His grandson. Who have lived, you know what I'm saying, in New York, France, California, et cetera. And it was said that at 12 years old, when he was staying with his grandmother, Betty Shabazz, of course, for those who looked at the movie Betty and Coretta, you would see they put that scene in there. Allegedly, he, caught the house on fire, you know, causing 80% burns on Betty Shabazz, 30-degree burns, killing Betty Shabazz, essentially. And, of course, he's the son of Kabila Shabazz, who's the second daughter of Malik El-Haj El-Shabazz, or Malcolm X and Betty Shabazz, who was arrested, you know what I'm saying, back in the 90s for attempting to kill Louis Farrakhan. You know, it was a so-called plot, but it was an FBI plot. You know, at least that's what was alleged. Then during that time period, you would see Betty Shabazz standing at the podium at Apollo Theater with Mr. Farrakhan, and in the place where the house was packed. And you can tell from her looks that she still had problems with the NOI and with Minister Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
And that is still heard of today within the family. Just last year, February the 20th, the day after Malcolm X assassination day, or the day in which that he was murdered, in which that was on February the 19th. So it's just actually a few days ago, and that's the reason why I'll be doing this particular topic. Alayhi Salaam, we send peace and greetings upon the spirit of Malcolm X, as we mentally pour about libations, as well as also Betty Shabazz, as we mentally pour libations. Last year, the charge was leveled over the weekend, February the 20th, that weekend, by Malcolm X's daughter, Malak Shabazz, in an interview on Sahara on TV. She said that her family members were completely settled on the fact that the NOI conspired with the FBI and the CIA to kill her father, Malcolm X, and that the Nation of Islam was involved. And she said, absolutely. Was Minister Farrakhan involved? She said, absolutely. Was he also involved with the CIA and the FBI and anyone else? Shabazz said with confidence on the Sahara TV, yes, he, Farrakhan was, and he knows it. We know it, and anyone else who was around during that time knows it, she continued. Okay, so that was consensus and still what the consensus with the family in concerning the death of Malcolm X and Elnaz Malik al-Shabazz. This leads to his grandson, you know, being that it was Kabila, his mother, who wanted to allegedly came up with this plot with this Jewish boy who actually was an FBI agent or snitch or informer, whatever you want to refer to him as, in which that he was trying to pull her into that, you know. But here it is that Malcolm's grandson was actually following in the same footsteps. Well, apparently, you know, he was promoting social justice. Juan Ruiz, a member of the California-based labor organization, RUMIC, said that Shabazz was, you know, basically was in Mexico City.
Hmm.
All right. I know earlier reports said that he was in Tijuana, Mexico. There was a lot of problems with these statements, and I'm going to get into some of that in a second. But Miguel Suarez, you know, he was deported actually from the United States about 2 months ago. He went down, and Shabazz went down to support him. And if you actually, there's a picture of Brother Shabazz, as well as also with Miguel and Juwan, all the three of them are standing together taking a picture, holding up the oneness of Allah, or holding up their fingers. Allegedly, he was robbed, and he didn't allow it, so they beat him to death, and he died on the way to the hospital. That was the report. But then there was another report in which that said that he was shot. Now, you can't get those two mixed up.
Right.
All right. Forensic expert, as well as also someone who works in the morgue at the hospital and do autopsies and whatever the case may be, can't mistake him, someone getting beat up with gunshots, you know, with a gunshot. You know, but this is what it says. But before we go on, I want to mention something in which that Dick Gregory said last week, almost 2 weeks ago now, on the Abundance Child show, in which that he made mention of the fact that Brother Shabazz here did not actually set the fire. Even though he later on confessed to it, he didn't set the fire. Actually, there was four assailants. And I remember Steve Coakley speaking about this years ago, back in 98, 99, that Betty Shabazz killer was actually four white assailants.
Huh.
Now, that's interesting because Steve Coakley is here to confirm that, but you can go back to his videos in order to verify that, and you can also go back to the Abundance Child show from about 2 weeks ago in which that she also makes that statement. All right? Well, Dick Gregory makes that statement on her show, I should say. Now, this is what they was saying about Brother Shabazz, his grandson of Malcolm, is that, you know, of course, they try to blame him for setting the fire, which of course, the death of his grandmother.
Right.
So that crime, he pleaded guilty to manslaughter and was found guilty for arson and was sentenced to 18 months in juvenile detention facility. Now, during the trial, Shabazz was described as basically being paranoid schizophrenic with psychotic episodes. In the same interview, Shabazz also dismissed the diagnosis of the child psychiatrist at the trial. that he was a paranoid schizophrenia, saying that he had only made up a story about hearing voices in his childhood to get attention. All right? Shabazz was released after 4 years, and in a 2003 interview with the Times, with the New York Times, Shabazz, who was then 18, gave his version of the fire and the events leading up to it, and he explained that he had been unhappy living in New York with his grandmother, and that he stated, you know, started being bad, doing things that would get him sent, you know, back to his mother, and nothing worked. Then he had the idea to set the fire, expressing remorse for the event. Now, I seen a video of him talking about it. Anyone who wanna see that, you can actually see that on YouTube. It was him at the Black and Noble bookstore in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And he went on and said that he set a fire in the hallway and didn't think the whole thing through thoroughly. But she didn't have to run through the fire, talking about his grandmother. There was another way out of the house from her room. I guess that she thought I was stuck and she had to run and get me because I was in front of my room as well. She ran through the fire and I did not picture that happening. That's what she would do, you know. And in the 2011, in the interview, Shabazz refused to discuss the fire, saying he was coerced into setting the fire. Correct. So,
wow.
That would account to the fact of possibly those four white assailants, you know. Who knows? We have no idea as far as that is concerned. But that has been stated by Dick Gregory and Steve Coakley, for those who want to verify it. Now, some of the strange things in which that took place based on his brother's death was that city prosecutors were investigating the attack that sent Shabazz to nearby hospital with severe injuries. They say that he died later on Thursday. Now, it stated that the United States officials confirmed that Shabazz was killed in Mexico City. Now, they were saying that he was, in the original report, they were saying it was Tijuana, Mexico. Right? Now, what verified and backed this up is that the labor activist Miguel Chavez, which I was talking about earlier, was traveling with Shabazz and told the Associated Press that his friend was beaten up at a bar near Plaza Garibaldi, a downtown square that is the home of Mexico City's Metro. All right? Now, basically saying that it got to a point in which that got out of hand, but in another report, based on the United States, it says that he was in Mexico City and that they believe that it was an attempted robbery. All right? It was an attempted robbery. Right? So, now in another one, they say that he got thrown off a building. All right? That's what it says. There's a news outlet citing that the U.S. Embassy, as a source of information, reported that Shabazz was killed on Thursday, May the 9th, and the report said that his injuries were due to being thrown off a building as he was being robbed in Tijuana, Mexico. That was the U.S. Embassy at that time. Then it says officials with the State Department will not confirm Shabazz's death, but did confirm the death of the U.S. citizen. And it says that we are aware of the death of the U.S. citizen in Mexico City. So now it's Mexico City. We have been in contact with the family members and at their request, there will be no further comment at this time. The State Department official said in response to an inquiry about Shabazz. Though earlier reports claimed that Shabazz was shot, the West said that the young revolutionary was beaten to death. All right, now, so either shot, beaten to death, or thrown off a building. Which one is it?
Which one is it?
Exactly. That's the question we have to ask. Which one is it? Because the report, as you notice, keeps changing. Right? It keeps changing. Now, let's go to the article in which that the family released a statement on the murder of Malcolm Shabazz. This is dated May 11th, 2013. And this is a featured headline, and it says, basically, we are deeply saddened by the passing of our beloved El-Hajj, Malcolm El Shabazz. To all who knew him, he offered kindness, encouragement, and hope for a better tomorrow. Although his bright light and boundless potential are gone from this life, we are grateful that he now rests in peace with the arms of his grandparents and the safety of God. We will miss him. With grateful hearts, we send sincerest appreciation to our supporters and our world. Tremendous outpouring of love and respect during our time of grief. Sorry for the Shabazz family. Yeah, that was the Shabazz family. The article goes further in. Another article, actually. This from the Amsterdam News, that Shabazz Tuni has traveled to Mexico to meet with the leader of the California activist right group called RUMEC. This is what we were talking about earlier, according to a report in Talking Point Memo, which quoted Juan Reyes, a member of the organization. The leader, Miguel Chavez, has been reported, who had been deported last month to Mexico by U.S. officials. Chavez told the Associated Press that Shabazz has traveled to Mexico to support him and his movement, and he said he was with Shabazz when Shabazz was beaten up at the bar near Plaza Garibaldi, a downtown square that is home of Mexico City's marches. We were dancing with the girls and drinking, Chavez said. Then the owner of the bar wanted them to pay 1,200 bar tab for music, drinks, and the women companionship. Chavez said the man with a gun took him to a separate room and he heard a violent commotion in the hall. He said he escaped and came back minutes later in a cab to look for Malcolm Shabazz, whom he found on the ground outside the bar. He was in shock. His face was messed up. Chavez told the AP, saying he took Malcolm Shabazz to a hospital, but that his friend died hours later of blunt force injury. Now, he doesn't mention nothing about being thrown off no building. So we got to see where that comes in at and who actually stated that. Mexico's Attorney General Office, the murder investigation is underway. Rutgers reports the office said in the statement that Malcolm Shabazz exhibited various injuries, apparently from blows, and died in a hospital. Okay? Now, El-Hajj Talib Abdul Rashid, a leading United States figure in Islam and Imam of the Mosque of Islamic Brotherhood in Harlem, New York, said that Shabazz family was still trying to find out exactly what happened and trying to cope with the loss. He described the Shabazz family as being deprived and said he was respecting his request to be discreet about the death. Said, I am a spiritual advisor to the family itself, he said. They're like any family to be under the circumstances, they're in shock, they're grieving. Right? So this is what we said. We don't get into if anyone else could have possibly had something based on his connections to this particular group, as well as also there's pictures of him actually shaking hands with Gaddafi and him becoming or trying to become a political figure, if that would actually be damaging against the political system or political movement, you know, of, you know, the United States in itself. Basically what he said now is that they believe that someone is being set up as a passing, that Malcolm's assassination has CIA written all over it, right? I mean, that this entire scam is strictly implemented to cause division, but at the same time, they distract the CIA from all the blame. My gut tells me Malcolm was kidnapped to Mexico. He had no intention of traveling to Mexico. Instead, Malcolm was set to arrive in California in hope to help a friend land a record contract. Now, this is what, this is another report. This is what Wallet, who's also a brother, his name, Brother Wallet, Imam Dawood, or Dawood Wallet, who is also an acquaintance of Malcolm Shabazz and the executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relationships in Michigan. Right, and this is what he said. He says instead, Malcolm was set to arrive in California in hopes of helping a friend land a record contract. How he ended up in Mexico is questionable, in my opinion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Then, of course, another article comes out on May the 13th, in which that two men is arrested in the killing of Malcolm, in which that they basically went in and says police are looking at other potential suspects in the case. Two bartenders at the bar where Malcolm Shabazz has been drinking are arrested. And so it says, and he was arrested in connection with the killing of the grandson of civil rights activists. Of course, Malcolm X was not a civil rights activist. That's something which they did not turn into some nonsense. But this is according to the office of the Mexican City Attorney General. And it says prosecutor Rodolfo Fernando Wills Gorsa said that the men working at the bar called the Palace Club, where Malcolm Shabazz and three people had been drinking early Thursday, an argument ensued from the staff saying that the bill was $1,200. Malcolm was beaten while another man was threatened and stripped of his belongings, Wills said. All right, so. Now, we still haven't found out yet who has stated that he got thrown off the building.
Huh.
All right, but this is what they keep saying, that he was transported to Balbuena, General Hospital, where he died of injuries later Thursday morning. Police spokesman Octavio Campos said Friday the Attorney General's office said his injuries was caused by a blunt object and included brain trauma and several broken bones. Prosecutors say there was no video of the killing because several cameras had been removed. Once again, listen to that. Prosecutors say there are no videos of the killing because several cameras had been moved, and others appear to have been turned to face a wall. Right? Police are looking in action to other people of that night. And it says to all who knew him, you know, they were talking about, you know, how saddened they were. And of course, former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney said that she was saddened and shocked and stunned to read about the murder of young Malcolm, and that he was a bright young man, and et cetera. And says many of my closest associates have personal memories of their time with him and of his efforts to reach out to them for help. And she goes on to say he was writing a book. And in fact, he was in the process of writing two books. And that information was on CNN, you know. So we see that this conflicting story still, but it does have some, I guess you think, some things as far as the CIA is concerned. We know that Malcolm Shabazz had converted to Shia Islam and became a spokesman for the Axis of Resistance, not just anti-Zionist force in the Middle East, but anti-empire force behind the world or around the world, right? So we've seen that that could have definitely caused problems, you know? As a matter of fact, it goes on to say that I've been hoping to get to know, let me see who this is saying is here. All right. There was a spokesman I never met, Malcolm Shabazz, outspoken activist whose grandfather, Malcolm X, was the most influential African American of the 20th century. Now, will not meet him, according to reports. Malcolm Shabazz was recently murdered in Mexico. Now, this is another article. I've been hoping to get to know Malcolm Shabazz at last February. Hollywood is in conference in Iran. This is when he got stopped. Just 29 days, just what? 90-some-odd days earlier when he was going to Iran. And he got stopped by the FBI. And they would not allow for him to go. But the United States National Security State had other ideas while trying to catch his flight to Tehran, or which is Iran. Malcolm was arrested by the FBI. No explanation for his arrest was ever provided. Why did U.S. authorities prevent Malcolm from traveling to Iran? This is a good question. He says the arrest was almost certainly politically motivated, and that's what he's talking about. He was interfering with political agendas of the United States, possibly. And it says Malcolm Shabazz's presence at the Hollywoodism conference would have brought the event invaluable publicity, especially in the black community amongst Muslims and anti-Zionists and anti-imperialists around the world, worldwide, and that the purposes would have fueled Malcolm's impeding rise to stardom and distinct status. Make no mistakes, Malcolm Shabazz, like his grandfather, posed a serious, actionable, long-term threat to powers that be. Because Malcolm had converted to Shia Islam and bought a spokesman and became a spokesman for the Axis of Resistance. And it says not just anti-Zionist forces in the Middle East, but this is going through the same thing over again. But it says like his grandfather, he had had some bushes with the law when he was young. And like his grandfather, he would have been on the road again, passed behind him, becoming a charismatic spokesman for the world depossessed. I do not know whether the usual suspects, the asteroids who assassinated the enemy of the empire on behalf of the CIA, the World Bank, or related entities, according to author John Perkins, killed Malcolm Shabazz, but I'm 100% certain that they were thinking about it. How can I be sure? I've been studying these assassinations for many years. My conclusion is that the empire's assassination profile, their potential enemies, and decide which ones represent a an actionable threat. Charismatic leaders with access to media are among the most questionable, And of course, President Kennedy was murdered because he was so charismatic and media savvy that he would have capable of pushing through policies that the guardians of the empire deemed unacceptable. Of course, that was done with transferring, getting rid of the so-called Federal Reserve Bank and causing Congress to have to actually print money once again based on the Constitution. Actually, with the executive order. All right, I can't remember that executive order right now, but I think executive order 110000, something like that. But it says, it goes on further. Of course, JFK, brother Robert Kennedy, was assassinated. Malcolm, ex assassinated, of course, as well as also Martin Luther King, all because of their political stances and their connection to the world forces, as well as, the way in which they were able to charismatically rile up the people, So This is what the article is saying. And it says, whatever happened to Mount Bash, it is abundantly obvious that the intelligence agency access infiltrating U.S. mainstream media or conducting a script. Of course, you know, a script for the so-called assassination. You know, as you said, but these two, you know, these two might end up becoming just one, you know, as they normally do. You know, if it becomes the one, then we know for sure, you know, that it was scripted. You know, right? You know, because they love to the long gunman. You know, saying, remember, reports first said that he was shot. You know, now he's beaten up. You know, then he was blown off the building. You know, then at first he was in Tijuana, then it was in Mexico City. You know, if you get if you search on the CIA Mossad link in Google for Mark Shabazz, the first result is a story published by the CIA propaganda front, the Huffington Post, and the story is a smear designed to drag Malcolm's name through the mud. In his youth, he set the fire, caused the death of his grandmother. All right, so all of that is talking about that reality. Malcolm Shabazz denied having set the fire as a child. He was forced to plead guilty in the same way that virtually all descendants, especially African-American ones, are forced to plead guilty in plea bargains to avoid facing long prison terms for crimes they may or may not have committed. Right. Remember, that goes back into what we was talking about with those four white assailants, as Brother Dick Gregory and Steve Copeland spoke about years ago, as well as Dick Gregory just spoke about no more than two or three weeks ago. All right. The Huffington Post will say that Shabazz continued to have trouble with the law throughout his life. In reality, his last conviction was in 2002, more than a decade ago, and the only trouble the character assassins could find since then was an arrest with no conviction, meaning he was and remained legally innocent. In other words, he was legally deemed innocent as allegedly punching a hole in a store window in 2006, which is more than 7 years ago. In the USA, where Obama presidency has no discriminated, driving while black, practically all young men, black men in particular, have trouble with the law. Actually, it isn't that they have trouble with the law, it's that the law has trouble with them. Being young, so-called black males, mean being guilty instead of proving innocent. The imperial propagandists of the New York Times, Huffington Post, and some of the outlets are working overtime smearing Malcolm Shabazz, and this apparently pre-orchestrated smear smells like a intelligence operation. It is a strong circumstantial evidence that Malcolm Shabazz was yet another political assassination victim. All right? Malcolm Shabazz, real crime like that of his famous grandfather, was joining the acts of resistance, standing up to Zionism and the U.S. Imperialism, and speaking the truth. All right, okay. So we see that is essentially everything in which that is taking place concerning the discrepancies, and that's why we made mention of the discrepancies coming from the U.S. Embassy, coming from the State Department, coming from Huffington Post, as well as also New York Times and et cetera, and how they was doing these particular things and smearing him, but I had to go into that information in order to show you that's what they was actually saying. But as you see, you know how they roll, and if you don't know, then there's several books in which that you need to get. You need 100 Conspiracies, right? You need also another good book would be any book on the assassination of Malcolm, his grandfather, Malcolm X, and you just see the correlations to the rise of this young brother here, of his grandson. All right. It's just a shame that the government have to resort to this in order to stop people who can think.
Yes, it is.
You know, I mean, really, it's a realish, real shame, you know, and, you know, and it's so shameful until, you know, the family can't even talk about it because they're scared also. As, you know, when I read the note, you can see from the note that, you know, they don't really want to say too much, you know. But we know that Malcolm Shabazz is in the process of writing two books, and at least one of which, while he was attending John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York, and he leaves behind two daughters. You know, at least that's what has been said. One report says one daughter, another report says two daughters. There's so much inaccuracy in these reports. You know, to you just have to go back and say, okay, this is what is going on. You know, this is ridiculous. But get ready to book on. Anything that you want to add to that event from there, Brother L, Grand Sheik?
Yes, sir. Like you said, it's a shame that the government has to go through these lengths. And anything, you know, use any method to keep us down. Doing anything to uplift ourselves, make it so bad that there's a lot of they use a lot of agents that are really abhors, you know. And I'd like to know what's on these brothers or sisters' minds when they commit these acts. You know, do they have any kind of conscience or as Sister Yafa Bay says, cognizant? Are they cognizant in any kind of way? You know, I mean.
Is, Brother L, is that they specifically pick out individuals who are, what's the word I'm looking for? Who are psychopathic in nature, or have psychopathic or sociopathic tendencies. And these are the individuals that they pick out in order to join them in these particular positions, you know, whether it's in the military, at high up, top security levels, or whether it's, whatever the case is, brother. You know, this is what they do, you know.
Right. You know, they
haven't, you know, as a psychopath or as a sociopath, they don't have any emotions concerning what they do.
Right.
These are the top shooters, the ones in which that, who do these particular things. You know, we've spoken before about assassinations, you know, we did a Black Panthers, we did one on Malcolm, we did one on Martin, and they go get, you know, they definitely go and get these particular people. You know, I mean, there's a Cold War. You know, a matter of fact, there's a book called The Covert War against Rock, you know what I'm saying? You know, that's one of the books. There's so many other books, you know, it's about Peter Tosh, Bob Marley, you know, Tupac, all of them, you know, as they being influential and having that charisma in order to, cause these types of, you know, to basically, you know, raise the people's mind state, you know.
And it makes sense.
There's another book called Virtual Government, CIA Mind Control Operation in America, Psychic Dictatorship in the United States. You know, both of those is by Alex Constantine.
But that goes back to your Manchurian candidates also.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, these psychopaths and these sociopaths, they are linked to this, to these particular programs. MK Ultra program, the MK Delta program, you know, which that dealt with that in the 50s and 60s, dealing with assassination, you know, dealing with mind control, you know, and how they were able to do those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm reading another book called Mass Control, Engineering Human Consciousness by Jim Keith. You know, that's a good one in order to get Cold War Against Hip Hop, you know, of course, by my man, Professor Gray, or Public Enemy. You know, excellent information, excellent book, you know. So there's several books in which that we definitely would get as far as getting our info up on what is really going on. You know, I mean, because this is ridiculous. You know, we have to begin to start putting together a battlefront.
Exactly.
You know, if we call ourselves blacks or Moors or whatever the case is, we can think about all those things, you know what I'm saying, a little bit later on. But right now, this is about survival and protection. And, you know, these are the things that we need to work on. You know, we definitely need where we can have water, food, clothing, shelter, you know, these types of things need to be number one or, you know, on the list.
Right.
You know, as far as our survival, you know, and if, you know, we're talking about historical information, we're talking about, what appears to be literal or factual, you know, and then we're not focusing on these main things, then we're really not doing what we need to do. You know, we're doing an injustice, you know, to the uplifting of fallen humanity, you know, because we might be focused on the materials or the things that we said is necessary for the people. You know, this is why we have gardens grown right now, you know, tomatoes, squash, pumpkin, cantaloupe, cucumbers, okra, watermelon. You know, we have all of this growing right now because we see that it's necessary in order to bring about production, you know, of these particular foods. We have fruit orchards. You know, we have nut trees, you know, walnut, you know, pecan. You know, we have these trees. So, I mean, you have to begin to start, if you have land, start putting these things on your land. You know, blueberry bushes,
right.
Grapevines, muscadines, scuffadines, you know, whatever the case is. Start growing something, you know what I'm saying, pear trees. You know, I had a pear tree when I was young that produced so much. You know, we had about six families in the area, and it produced so much, you know, that you can't even eat it all. We had, you know, we had to can it and you know, cook it and, you know, bake with it. I mean, it wasn't enough that we can do, you know. So we need to start learning the science of planting, you know, developing these green thumbs. You know,
exactly.
Because the long shit you might have heard about Monsanto with the seeds. There's organic seeds still there. That's not hybrids. You get them. All right? There's still, you still have the right in order to grow foods and things like that, especially under religious protection. You do it. You know, don't let, you know, what you might have read or heard. There's always loopholes. You just have to find the loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so
exactly right.
Let me get ready to go to the phone lines.
All right,
so I'm getting ready to blink on. Let me see here. 314, area code 314, you're on the line.
Peace.
All right, let's go to area code 512. Area code 512, you're on the line.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace. What's going on, brother Raglan? What's going on, Aleem?
Oh, pretty good, brother. Wonderful. How you doing, God?
Oh, everything is doing well. Just got finished listening to that, doing Qigong the whole time, you know.
Wonderful.
No,
wonderful.
Oh yeah. Just let me know. I'm just calling in whenever you're ready, Aline.
Yeah, well, we're ready to go into
it. I know you on the...
Right. We're ready to go into it. I just want to get to that song Vince, that you sent me.
Yeah, you got to play that song, yo.
All right. Where you sent it to me at?
Yeah, I sent it to you on Facebook.
Okay, there we go. All right, so you stay on, and we're going to try to get to that song. And tell the people, you know, what we're going to be going into, what you want to go into.
Okay. So, basically everything, you know, of course, shout out to the brother, you know, Shabazz, Malcolm X's grandson. But I'm noticing these things, and the thing that we have to do as a people is just empower ourselves. On the spirit level, I feel is most important, because just like if you see in the end of Star Wars, when you see Anakin there and Yoda's there, that's the same way that the ancestors are, and they're still here. They're just on a different plane. So everything that I want to go in tonight. Basically deals with activation, the mind power, decoding some of the cartoons, and definitely the symbolism, the metaphysics, and then if we can get into it, then maybe we can go to some element readings, and basically giving a reading of the particular Chinese element that a certain person was born. And that's kind of like astrology, but it's more so on the element that they are basically, you know, embodying.
All right. Well, we're going to get started, and you know, when you want to, you know, we can break, and then I can play the song. So, you know, definitely get started on that. Let the people go into it.
Okay. Well, do you want to play the song first, or?
No, I'm going to come back to it, because right now I'm having technical difficulties, so I'm trying to get it and everything. But, you know, you can go ahead right now and get into your information,
okay.
And then go to it whenever you want to break, whether it be like in 15 minutes or whatever the case is.
Gotcha. Well, first, I just want to explain, basically, I went to a retreat not long ago. And it was basically based off the Jedi. And basically the Jedi is, you know, they base everything based off the ancient Egyptians. And I'm like, well, you can't get away from, what are they going to base it off of? And I was like, all right. Because I was like, everything that I study is from the ancient mystery school. So they call it the Jedi. And basically the Jedi is the same way where you're going to get Star Wars. And you get just Jedi, just without the D. And basically means pillar, right? Mm-hmm. And basically what I learned there, we learned how to cultivate the Shen, which is basically spirit, you learning to store Qi, but you can actually store it in your organs in order to cultivate your energy in your organs, which every organ, like for instance, like if you store energy in the liver, there's a certain amount of focus that basically you can, I have it in the book here, let me just get to it real quick. There's basically within the five organs you have certain elements that it's connected with, and we're just talking about the major life organs. So if you, say, send energy to your kidneys, it builds up, say, your your willpower, they call it the Z, which is Z-H-I, and basically build up your spiritual willpower, your ancestry, all those that came before you. Then you have, and you have each of these different principles of the Jedi mind training. So you have attention, you have sensation, you have intention, you have imagination. All of these important to making the holistic being. So whenever you are doing a particular exercise and strengthening a certain area, not only are you strengthening the organ, but you're strengthening, say you feed the energy to your heart. So this connects you to your shen and the heart. And as we know that the heart gives off more electromagnetic power than the brain. So we know that the heart is very powerful in that sense. As far as what you must do is, what these different techniques teach you to do is to give off that feeling, and basically the heart projects that and projects that into the ethers, which is, it's not so much, it's the thought that creates the feeling within you, you know, as above, so below, and then projects that out into the universe. So a lot, you know, in law of attraction, you know, they'll say, like, you need to focus on generating, not just thinking is not always enough, but knowing, having the feeling, what does it feel like to be doing this particular exercise? Or what does it feel like to manifest this? You see what I'm saying? So
right,
basically,
right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically, we learned a lot of that in the Jedi. Now, I wanted to know if everybody that's on the line is ready. I wanted to do a little meditation just so we could, you know, transmute this energy, everything that's been going on, just kind of ground ourselves so we can try to transmute that negative energy into positive energy, you know.
No doubt.
All right.
All right, so if everybody could just kind of relax, you can do this standing up. And basically what this is called the Pillar of Light Meditation. All right. So basically what you want to do is just kind of relax. Take some inhales if you can as you lift your arms up. So you lift your arms up as you inhale, exhale. You want to make the ha sound, which is the sound of the heart. So we're going to inhale, coming down, ha. Inhale, arms up, bring them down. Inhaling, as the arms come down. One is fun. Imagine and feel a smile melting down the front, the back, and the center of your body, melting all stress and tension into the earth, melting all emotional blocks and tension. Feel your body and mind at one, relaxed and peaceful. Two is shoe. Imagine and feel your feet melting into the earth like ice melting into water, and water absorbing into the soft soil. The energy of the feet fuse with the earth. Three is tree. imagine you feel yourself extending tree roots so you can kind of make just kind of like sword fingers deep into the ground and connect with the center, the central sun, connect with the sun inside of the earth. Then four is core. Your roots extend deep into the core of the planet. Imagine the earth energy flowing into these roots like golden rivers of light. Feel the chi ascend the back of the legs and spine, pouring over the head, the third eye, down the chest, and entering into your lower dantian. And as you inhale through the mouth, exhale and feel your core vibrating. So it's going to kind of sound like a little like this, like. Five is alive. The earth energy builds up in the lower dantian and is projected through the centers of the palms like a blowtorch, filling the space with golden light. So you can just let your hands just open in a relaxed, kind of a receiving posture. Six is thick. Imagine you are completely saturated in the earth's deep chi, arms in your energy body. Exhale, feel the arms come in and the space around you compress. Seven is heaven. So you just kind of want to make the mudra of basically like, I know you see in Spider-Man or kind of that Anubis sign, you know, basically where your thumb's on top of your middle finger and your ring finger. And seven is heaven. Imagine your head is high within the heavens. Your waist is in the blue sky and white clouds, while your feet are plunged into the earth. Feel yourself suspended between heaven and earth, infinitely existing within the center of space and time. Activate your pillar of light. Eight is gate. So all you're going to do is just let the... just like you had it with the thumb on top, the middle finger and the ring finger, you're just going to let your ring fingers stick out, and you're just going to have basically your middle finger and your thumb still connected. Eight is gate. Imagine now that you are opening every energy gate located within each joint, core, on the surface issues, mental, physical, energetic, spiritual bodies getting brighter and brighter. Nine is shine. Your Taji pool, your center core, has become completely illuminated with white light energy. You are a shining star, a divine being. You are pure consciousness, unconditional love. Ten is begin. So you call in upon that I am that I am. The God self, the God presence, I am. May the energy of the divine cleanse, purify my body, my mind, my spirit. May Allah's will be my will, whichever, you know, name for God you want to refer to. I am that I am, calling upon the God presence, creating a sacred healing space, a sanctuary from which to train, to practice, to teach, and to simply be, allowing only the highest vibrations of God into the space for the soul growth, evolution, and enlightenment of all sentient beings throughout the multidimensional universe. Anything that is not in alignment with true source to be transmuted into pure, clear light now. So be it, so it is. I am that I am. Calling upon the God presence, the God self, I am overflowing all three dantians, the mental, the energetic, and the spiritual bodies, energy of God, aligning with the chakras, the ancestors, guardians of light, the Netaru, all beings of good energy and light into the space. And from this place, we begin any of our meditations, any healing sessions, or anything of that nature. So, thanks for going through the meditation.
All right, so you talked about the golden light. What's the purpose of the golden light as far as the people should be concerned about? I know from my research that golden light symbolizes healing light. It's the like the solar energy, you know, in which that is conducive to the melanin or carbon beings, in which that helps heal us, and actually is one of the most powerful energies or lights in which that can be utilized. You know what was taught within your class concerning the golden light? Did they say anything concerning it?
Yeah, everything that they referred to was was some form of light or another. The golden healing light, as far as the visual spectrum, I think is one of the high ultraviolet radiation is one of the highest highest waves of light. But not only that, but also in a symbolic sense, you know how hard it is, especially you don't want to look at the sun. When all that radiation is coming in. So not only that, but it's kind of a type of, the healing light can basically be used as protection. It can be used, you know, if I ever feel scared or something, I surround myself with golden healing light. Or if I'm dealing with a person that I don't want to be around or whatever, around myself with golden healing light, because it's a healing light and also a protective light.
No doubt about it. All right, we got area code 832. 832, you're on the line.
Peace.
Peace, God.
Peace.
Yes, sir. Hold on, I'm trying to get you off speakerphone.
Yes, sir. My name is Brother Farouk. I've been practicing Qigong in the energy arts for 15 years now. And myself and we've actually studied extensively. We've studied the Chinese, the Japanese arts of energy cultivation, and we've set up a school. Called Spiritual Empowerment Institute, where we have begun to initiate into the ancient Indonesian arts of Tanaga Dalam. Brother was talking about the Jedi training, the Jedi training in regards to using spiritual power, spiritual energy for. I don't know, you know, the Jedi that I'm familiar with, the Jedi history that I've read online talks about. Spiritual masters or spiritual experts able to use spiritual energy for the purpose of combat. Well, we have that science, and we have an initiation, a 21-day initiation that we have been initiating students into for the past year. We have come up every full moon, every 30 days or so, 20, 30 days or so, there's an initiation that we sponsor at the Spiritual Empowerment Institute. Now, this initiation is guaranteed. If you complete the 21 days of training, it's guaranteed. Now, I want everyone to hear this because this is absolute. Guaranteed to open up all seven chakras, all of the eight extraordinary meridians, and all of the 12 primary meridians within 21 days. You will forever walk on a plane of spiritual purity after 21 days. This is a secret that has been released, and it hasn't been released more than 10 years. The family that released it hasn't released it. It's less than 10 years since this has been released. The Indonesians have the most advanced systems of energy cultivation. As a matter of fact, they were able to defeat the Dutch using their using the energy arts. We have a host of initiations. We have the elemental initiations, which deals with the elements of fire, air, water, earth, and ether or space. Each initiation lasts 3 months, a 90-day initiation where you charge the mantra and you charge the body with that particular element. Now, the brother was talking about cultivating the energy in the organs. Well, we have a specialized training at the basic level. After, see, what we decided that we was going to, we were going to take students up gradually. Some students may want to go up gradually and take a 3 month pace, but we can start some off at the high level to open up everything, so that your training would be much faster. Now, some people can't handle that type, and we'll know because we've had some that decided they didn't want to complete the initiation after 3 or 4 days because the intensity of the energy. Some people, you know, they're not really familiar with the energy the way it should be because it's actually hot. It's actually hot. It's like, you know, it's not hot like fire, but it's very warm. And you can sit in one. I mean, I've actually been in 40 degree weather. I'm in Texas. I've been in 40 degree weather.
Yeah, I'm in Texas too, brother.
Yeah, yes, sir. I've been in 40 degree weather. You know, and it's, you know, that's kind of cold for me. I'm a Texan. You know, and I've been outside. I've practiced the breathing. I've done one repetition of the breathing, and I began to perspire. You know, because heat that generates, this is a special lock mechanism that we teach the students and how to lock the energy and create a tremendous amount of heat in the lower dantian. You know, we...
Right, brother, that's the Kumo breathing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we have an initiation for that. They've been keeping the secrets. There's an initiation for that. We have all the secrets. There's no... I don't want to be boastful, brother, but we set out to do this. We have the secrets. We want to share it with all of the brothers. There's no more need.
Give us your contact information, brother.
We have the
know.
Secrets. Yes, sir. The contact number. We have a Facebook page. We don't have a website now, but you can message us at Spiritual Empowerment Institute. You can go there. You can look at some of the things that we've written. Now, you can contact me. My name is Farouk. I've been given the title of master. I don't too much like to use that, but I've been given the title of master. But you can just call me Brother Farouk. You reach me at area code 832-921-9964. That's 832-921-9964. It's too late for the initiation for this full moon because the water has to be charged beginning tonight at the least. Sometimes we charge the water, you know, a week or so before. But we are doing prior to the initiation ceremony, we show the students a special process of how to create solar water and lunar water. We use sunlight, prayer, which is the mantras, and breath energy, or chi, to charge water, to actually change the molecular structure of the water. We also use moonlight and starlight and prayer to change the molecular structure of the lunar water. This is alchemy. You know, this is alchemy. So I'm just saying, brother, you know, we have the secrets, you know, and amongst myself, my partner, the other master that's with the Spiritual Empowerment Institute, Dr. Arlene Bay, and several others, we have it. I mean, we actually paid money to get these secrets, you know. So, and the best secret that they had was connected to the dantian. That's the actual secret. But there's a way, there's a special way to unlock it, so that the energy can flow all over the body.
Gotcha.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, brother. I was doing a breathing exercise with this sister. It's about 5, maybe 6 years ago. and we held each other's hands while we were doing it. And then she said she had to let my hands go because her hands felt like it was burning or hot. Whatever was too much energy we was using or...
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Your energy was flowing because, see, depending on what hands you were connected with, you were pretty balanced. If your left hand connected with her right hand and her right hand connected with your left hand, then there was a... It was? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Then yes, there was a... And if you were... If the breathing was coordinated along with the heartbeat,
okay,
the energy is really going to flow.
Okay.
It's really going to flow. Yeah. Because sometimes if you coordinate the breathing, the heartbeat would naturally begin to resonate with one another because your energy fields are resonating, are beginning to resonate simultaneously.
Did that have anything to do with the male energy and the female energy?
Yes, the balance.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, because the yin and yang are the positive and the negative polarities. This constant flow, or there's a closed circuit. Yes, sir, there's a closed circuit that you guys created, you know,
okay,
at that particular point. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the energy, vibration is actually molecular motion. And
right,
you know that vibration is increasing when heat is present. That's why when you heat metal, it begins to glow because it's speeding up. So you know that your vibrations are increasing when the heat, the inner heat, begins to increase and begins to expand, you know, and begins to flow freely through the body. Those are the
all
things
right
that you have to, well, the telltale signs. Yes, sir.
Right, brother, give your own Facebook page one more time.
Yes, sir. It's a Spiritual Empowerment Institute. Spiritual Empowerment Institute. There are a couple of numbers there, but you can reach me at this number here, 832-921-9964. And ask for Farouk.
Okay.
64, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
I appreciate
that,
brother.
Yes,
please,
I'm
appreciate God.
No. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, God. I'm going to continue to listen on. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you, brother. We have number 202, area code 202. You're on the line.
Hello?
Yes, greetings.
Peace, brothers. Peace, brother. This is Vanessa from D.C.
Yes, greetings.
Peace.
I want to ask, actually, it's not a question. I think that the women need to come together and do some rituals, some dancing, we need something because I know when a woman molted, because I know that the woman was the one that spoke in the ear of the gods or the king. So I'm so frustrated with what I'm seeing with pale people, with more women, and pale people with more men. I'm so frustrated. I'm trying to keep my emotions out of it because I see it everywhere. I can't even look at TV because I see everything like that. It's a problem. Every time I watch TV is my even with my children. I'm sorry to be jumping over it. Everything, brothers. But when my kids watching the little Disney stuff, and that's what you see: young, more women with young pale. I call it pale. It. Sorry, I don't mean to be that, but that's how I see them now because they're so destructive.
It's designed that way.
Yeah, I noticed that because in the beginning of in the 90s. When we was getting back to the African way and
right,
seeing that how our culture and stuff, and we was proud, you know.
Right.
And I used to, when I was, you know, in my 18th and 19th years, I used to walk down the street and I would see a more brother with one, and I used to stare him down. you know, because that used to bother me. And he used to lay, you know, put his head down. And now you got the problem. And you're racist. You prejudice. And I'm like, I don't prejudge nobody. How am I racist and all the stuff happened to my kind?
Yes.
I didn't make, you know, I didn't make this way. You was hanging, raping, and doing all that. Didn't you think that we would not like you to a point?
Yes. The thing is, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Brother L, that actually they do know that. And that's one of the fears on the reason why they move very slowly with us concerning the many things in which that we feel like we need to do now. You know, I remember just like, you know, around the time when Tupac passed back in 95, going to 95, I remember when he did a song with the Machiavellian in which he was saying that you're not ready for a black president. Not knowing that, you know, just, you know, 13 years later, you know, 13 years later, we will have one in the White House, you know, so-called. But the thing is that they move very slowly because of their fear that we will retaliate, you know, from the history in which that has been taught to us and from those particular lynchings and pictures in which that we have seen. Most of those lynchings come from the fact of them stealing our land. You know, that's what the KKK and their particular group, which actually was Democratic and Christian at that time, actually, that's what they were doing. They was going around the South stealing our land, you know, because we own millions of acres of land at one time as a people, you know. And so they would go around and, you know, and lynch us, castrate us, so forth, so on, as you said, rapists or whatever the case is, and they would take the land from us. And that's what it was all about, not just denationalizing, but also land theft. By denationalizing us, they had to, they took the land, and that's why they had to denationalize us, you know, because land and nationality is synonymous, you know. So, you know, and us being Moors, that is also synonymous to the land. So hence, they were able to, you know, tie that away from us, you know. And so we know that there were certain keys or secrets in which that was given to higher masons or shriners or whatever the case is, in which that some feel as if they have to hold the Moors down. And then there's others in which that are grateful in order to see us rise again. You know, the thing is that we don't know who's who, you know.
Right.
So therefore, you know, the way in which that you feel is the normal way. I know I've seen, you know, back in the days, I would look at a brother doing the same thing, and like you said, they would be ashamed and they would put their head down.
Right.
You know, matter of fact, that was just up until, you know, not too long ago, they would still do that. But like you said, based on the indoctrination of the TV, you know, the movies, you know, everything, like you said, now black and white, they're promoting it. And that's not because a Shriner came up to one of the Moors, to one of the brothers, and asked him, could he sit down next to him? And he said, yes, you can sit down. And he asked him, so are you a Moor? He said, yes, sir, I'm a Moor. And then he started telling him, he said, well, look, we're not going to be able to survive unless we mix back in with y'all. And he plucked at his skin, you know, and he plucked at his skin. So they know. So they have to put these commercials and these TV shows and these movies geared towards that for their survival. Because as much as they talk about artificial intelligence, or as much as they talk about genes and computers, as much as they're talking about cryogenics, as much as they're talking about cloning, artificial insemination, as many blood banks, semen banks, breast milk banks, you know, as many things as there are, they still have not figured out how to go beyond us, how to bypass us, because we've been the oldest people on the planet. The most indigenous original people on the planet, they can't bypass us, and they know this. So one segment it works twice. So one segment still works on those type of programs and scientific technology and so forth and so on, while another branch say, look, just in case if that technology fails, which we see that there is not complete, we need to go on and do this. And so hence the movies, the TVs, as well as also you know, the various shows or whatever the case is geared towards that, you know, of combined, you know, the right commercials of geared towards the black and white agenda. So that's part of the, you know, of that, you know, saying on one aspect between, you know, the so-called more woman and more man, you know, we're getting, you know, population control agenda, you know, saying they're trying to sterilize. But yet, on the other hand, for the brothers who, you know, who's doing that with, you know, the so-called white women or pale women, you know, and, you know, the, you know, and vice versa, pregnancy is real easy, seemingly.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
You know, if you notice. So how is it that we can't, you know, why is it so hard now for us to commune together, you know?
Right.
But yet, it's hard for us to commune, but it's easy, you know, for the other way, you know. So there's something going on with that, and it goes back to that population control agenda and the sterilization program in which that, you know, been going on with, since the Tuskegee experiment since the 1940s.
Yes, yes.
They're trying to hang on. The Europeans don't want to be left behind in the third dimension.
Right.
And so, as it was explained to me by Dr. Aline himself, they don't want to be left behind. So they're trying as much as possible to try to bear down with many of us more as possible.
And this but is
well,
going on. Isn't it too late for that? Isn't
well,
it too late for that? Don't they need more generation? Go ahead. I'm sorry,
well, remember, a generation is merely 20 years.
Right.
They speculate by 2045, 2050, that there will be no so-called pale people on the planet.
Yes.
You know,
well,
this is
well,
already,
from what I understood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from what I understood, I think I forgot who said it. It was Brother Azariah or something. And he said, you don't even see real white people anymore.
Right.
They can't even
right.
come
right.
outside.
Right. Not
really.
Think about the last time you seen a blonde haired, blue eyed person.
I noticed that, and I'm seeing a lot of their
yeah,
hair.
Right, I ain't talking about the ones who bleach their hair blonde, but I'm talking about real blonde haired, blue eyes. I mean, that's rare nowadays.
Right.
And red haired and blue eyes and green eyes are also too.
Right.
But, you know, I guess they're trying to make sure that it's gone because they already know about that. Was that saying that, I think Yaffa Bay said it, that the green eye means the blue eye means the green eye bandit, or what was that that she was saying that they call, what was that term, green eye bandit, where does that green eye something come from?
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, one more question. So,
yeah.
Is it any way that it's hard for me with to speak and to talk to people because of how I see things, and everybody keeps saying that you're looking at it too far. You always find a problem or something is always wrong. Because I see what they're doing. And
yes.
I have children, and I always teach my kids to love their skin, to love that they are Moors, because there's nothing out here better than you, you know. And I tell them, they know they are gods. My youngest is 8 years old. He'll tell you in a minute. He said, I'm a Moor and I'm a god, and you can't tell me nothing because it's in me.
Wonderful.
I know it.
Beautiful.
8 years old. And, you know, I'm happy with the teachers because they're still in public school. I haven't found yet in the district that I can take them out and to talk to people, a temple, because you can't talk to nobody. I mean, because everything is like, it is the way it is, and that they think they can't change it. They think they don't have that power, and it's getting on my nerves. I'm like, you have that power. I'm like, all you know is you are God, you have that power. But they still think that everything is manipulated the way that they can do what they can do without us saying anything, without us reacting, and without us doing that we need to do to stop them from doing what they're doing. I'm so tired of them killing my children. Not just mine's in here, all my kids out there. You know, I'm tired of that the young brothers are. And I'm saying I'm gonna put a stop to this. It got to be a ritual that women can do to stop or put this energy out here to put a dent into what they're doing.
Well, I mean, the best thing that can raise, I would say, is raising your vibration and your frequency, so you won't attract. You want to attract, say, you know, people that are not of that frequency. You know, you want to attract. You won't see them as much because you're not focused on them. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because,
so that,
right.
Yeah, to
and
be honest,
also,
with this tool. Go ahead, bro.
No, go ahead, bro.
You know, I was saying, to be honest, when I went to school, it was very much like that. In a sense of, that's why I couldn't know whether to hang out with the Joss or to hang out with the Mexicans, because it was always the type of skin thing, and you knew it deep down that it. And I would, you know, sometimes I would be like, all right, well, I'm just gonna try and stay out of the sun for a little while. If I get pale, maybe I'll turn white one day. Then the next summer I come back.
That's right.
The next summer I come back, they're like, "Whoa, you really got tan there." You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, I mean, I say it as in the sense of it's really where you put your focus at.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, the way that I've seen it, I mean. People could have, if they could have reincarnated, they could have been a Moor in a previous life, you know, mm-hmm. but somehow they come back here and, you know, they're damn Albion. But if they were a Moor in a previous.
Isn't that what they call in the Bible that leprosy? Is that, you know, that that's the reason it could be because, you know, what happened that. You would turn to, you would lose your melon, you would lose, that's why you're being punished, the leprosy is punishment?
Right, well, that was
right.
part of the leprosy in the Bible, in which that is actually what's called vitiligo today, medically,
okay.
in which
mm-hmm.
that when you were turned all white, based on Leviticus, the 13th chapter, it speaks about when you're turned all white, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
You know, and they say, I think, and it says about also yellow hair. And when it's turned all white, then, you know, and then the Quran speaks about, you know, the guilty blue eyes. So all of that correlates to the fact of a curse or some type of degeneration. Like that, I asked you what the curse is degeneration.
Okay.
And falling back to the evolutionary process in which that occurred. You know, it is stated, you know, that the Moors were messing with the DNA, the tampering with the genes. You
right.
know, and this is talked about within a book by Walter Scott called Hermetica, in which that the Egyptians said the worst thing that we have ever done was create man in our image and after our likeness. And that sounds
right.
exactly the same as, of course, Genesis, the first and second chapter, you know, in the Bible, in which that,
mm-hmm.
you know, allegedly God said those particular things, or God and the, you know, which is actually the Elohim, you know, in which that is, you know, the word. Means many. The word Elo means, or Elo means God. So the many gods, of course, they've been translated to mean angels. But as Moors, we know that in the 102s and the 101s, it says the angel is the thought of Allah, God in flesh. So, you know, these are men who had superior IQs, the high IQs, in which that went about, you know, tampering with the genealogy in which that produced. They wanted to produce slaves. That's what that was actually based on. If you get Zachariah Ascension's information, he speaks about
mm-hmm.
the Lulu people or beings, in which that was supposed to be slaves for the gods, you know, and that's how that came about. But there was many other tribes in which that at that time disagreed with that process, You know, they disagreed with that. They did not want to have that to occur. So, like, for example, the Dogon, you know, 6,000 B.C., almost 8,000 years ago, moved from out of Kemet as being the top astrologers from out of Kemet, you know, into Mali, because they wanted to get away, because they knew of the transgressions in which that was coming. They seen it based on the alignment of the stars. So
okay,
they moved themselves from out of Egypt that time ago. And there's many other cultures or tribes in which that moved away from out of Egypt, away from the Egyptians during that time period because of the experiments in which that they was going to conduct and participate in.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank y'all, brothers, so much for listening.
Yeah.
I need to get this little bit of frustration out. Y'all made
it
much better.
Yeah.
Much better.
Mm-hmm.
Thank y'all, brothers. Have a great, great night. Actually, I'm going to say have a successful night, because that's my new word. Everybody asks me, how you doing? I say successful. So so thank you. Oh, another thing I want to say, too, I want to put out is pay more homage to your family members, your aunties, your uncles, your grandmas, your grandpas, and give them some of that, what they call spirit money, so they can help us do more financial things, because I know without money, we can't do nothing. Without, well, this, what they call money, but without money, we can't build. We can't really build. So please put that out for them, and everybody, please stop doing a little spiritual money, what they call hell money, to your ancestors, because I find out that they have debt in the afterlife, and I didn't know that. So thank y'all so much.
Thank you,
brothers.
Oh, no
peace,
problem.
Brothers.
Thank you
for
coming on.
Peace and love.
Peace.
Right, Brother Bobby Hemet and Brother Azariah both speaks about that, about the debt owed by the ancestors even on the other side, and which that they too need money in order to help with the things in which that goes on there. Of course, many of us don't understand that there's a mirror-like image right above us called the ionosphere, which that is a replica of everything here on planet Earth. And the ionosphere is part of the seven spheres or seven atmospheres within our planetary system. And these are the seven heavens mentioned within the Holy Quran, as well as also is symbolic to the fact of the seven hells, because these are states, and based on the mind, you know, you take yourself into a hellish state or a heavenly state. So this is the science. We get ready to play that Star Wars Mike, quick. So we're gonna play it and then come on in with your,
No, I was gonna say, how much time do we got left? Because I got a lot of information. I hope we can get it all through.
Right. Well, we don't get as much as we can through.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Here we go.
Just go.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for playing that.
All right. What you got?
Because basically that everything that, you know, tonight's show about is about is basically learning to know and to learn the true ways of the Force.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that there's two paths that you can take. That, I mean, it's more than just you know, an awesome trilogy and a science fiction film. That the Force, and there's two paths that you can take. They always emphasize that in Star Wars, you know, there's the light side of the Force and the dark side of the Force. So, you know, I know, I forgot, the brother was coming in and he was talking about, you know, we use a lot of these for combat, and a lot of these are for power. But the thing about it is, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. So one of the important things is, and I think a lot of people, sometimes it can happen when a hero is trying to find, you know, its path and is thinking, well, I could do all this and have all this power, but power could eat you alive if you don't control it. If you don't control it, you know, you've seen what happened to Darth Vader. You know, basically, the Jedi form that I learned is more so about healing. So, in the sense of, it's not about combat. The combat that we're using here is a mental combat against negative energy and against any negative thought forms or disease or anything of that nature. You see, what you're doing is you're training the Jedi mind through sensation, through imagination, through basically meditation. You're training the mind. So in that sense, combat, but it's a mental combat of discipline. I'm saying that we don't learn these techniques to harm one another, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Because it's very powerful, and it's good to learn, but like I said, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, and...
Right.
You know, that's one of the things I think it can be like kind of a trap door when people get into spirituality or, you know, basically, you know, they start thinking, oh, I'm this powerful being and I'm this God and I can do all this shit. And mm-hmm. that may be, and that's true in a sense, but you don't want to be too big for your own ego. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, what I believe you're talking about also is the eternal arts.
Right.
The inner, you know, healing the inner self, how to heal. That's when you really know martial arts, when you really know how to heal people. I think I'm
right.
Getting, okay.
Well, yeah, because martial arts, you know, from everything that I've learned and studied, you know, you'll see it in many kung fu movies
right.
that, you know, something will happen. Like, I could get an incident. You know, basically when I was younger, I was about 14. And, you know, these, I can't call them really brothers because they had a problem with me. You know what I'm saying? But
mm-hmm.
basically they had a problem with me. And, you know, I was always a peaceful kind of Jew, but... Basically,
exactly.
You know, they just had a problem with me, thought that I was talking shit about them or whatever. So I'm like, you know, how am I going to end this shit? I didn't really have knowledge of fighting. You know, I learned Taekwondo. I learned, you know, certain martial arts, but they were all into boxing and all that. But they were all about the ego. So I basically went in there, you know, I try to hit the biggest guy because I'm like, if I hit the biggest guy, then maybe the little guys will, you know, take off. I walked home with my pants behind, you know, with my tail behind my legs that day. You know, I lost, I admit, but, you know, one against three other guys is a fair. But anyways, that shit, you know, in a way messed with me psychologically, and to a sense it's like, okay, well, this is not what martial arts is about.
Exactly.
Martial arts is learning to defend, so you don't have to deal with situations like that. But not only that, it shows you how you can channel that energy into something more creative. And so basically, you know, what somebody that gets into, you know, any of the arts will do is, like, if they have a situation happen like that, they're like, all right, I'm going to learn some karate so I can come back and kick their ass, you
mm-hmm.
know. But that's not what it's about. You know, what
right.
it's about is maybe learning from that situation and learning and saying, okay, well, I'm going to be at peace. Let that person figure it out for themselves, because it's their own spirit they're having a war against. The other person
mm-hmm.
is just what they're expelling their energy on.
Right.
But it's their own internal, you know, struggle that they have within themselves. But basically, you know, Qigong, you know, like Aleem has said, basically the soft style is the same as the hard style,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if you just fast forward a Qigong movement, it will look just like a martial arts movement in some sense. But
right.
it really just depends which path you want to go. Some people take the power path. But like I said, like it's up to you. The power path has a lot to do with you battling with your own ego.
Mm-hmm.
And power path, it comes with a sense is where you could have a balloon ego and you'll be like, fucking, you know, if you heard of ABBA on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
you know, the guy that was talking shit to Aleem, you'll become somebody like that, you know, if you just so much about power and so much about, when you realize that the way the universe works is there's an abundance, you know, for everybody. Everybody gets to eat, you know. You don't have to sit at this big table when everybody's there and you just got, you know what I'm saying, watermelons and a whole bunch of shit, you know, vegetables and all that. When you,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's plenty to go around. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But basically, so we learned that, and we learned the five elements. The five elements,
beautiful.
Which, of course, you hear in Aleem's song, you know, earth, air, water, fire, and metal, and tree. And these basic ones have, you can find out basically by the year, the last digit of the year you were born. So let's take you, for example, Brooke Ragman.
Mm-hmm.
What year were you born?
1953.
1953?
Yeah.
Okay. 1953. Okay. I believe you're a tree person. Basically, each person basically on the last digit of when they were born is will give, you know, one of the elements. Oh no! Oh, you're water.
Okay.
So do you have besides just being mainly water, do you have a connection?
Yes.
With water?
Yes. I notice when I'm especially outside, when I'm by a pond or a river or a lake, when I do a lot of my breathing exercises, and when I'm through, when I open my eyes, the water along with the atmosphere around me, everything is almost like a dark blue. Eileen explained to me what it was. I forgot what he said it was, but it everything was blue, you know, and the water seemed like it was really rich with the color blue.
Right. Well, water has to do with basically they're not necessarily they're definitely energetic, but they're not as basically as so much about action. You know, water is really calm and flowing and adaptable in a sense. But water
yes,
has
sir.
A lot to do with it. They're usually they can be very emotional.
Yes. Okay. Because I like to always take baths or showers a lot when I was younger. And my mother always say, you know, you like to play with a lot of water all the time. I noticed that about you.
Yep, yeah. I say that because that's always been my sign. And when I used to read about Bruce Lee always talking about being like water, I'm like, how do I be like water? And then my Qigong teacher tells me one day, he's like, you don't have to be like water. You're already water, you know.
Okay.
But they told that to Bruce Lee because Bruce Lee had a lot of fire. And a lot
exactly.
of that fire, he needed to learn how to calm it down.
Okay,
you know,
right.
I can give, is Aline, you there?
Yeah.
What, I think it was, 69?
Nah, 1959.
Yeah, 1969.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I believe that's Earth.
All right.
I believe that's Earth. So that's a combination of fire, water, basically all the elements. In the sense of when you can put them together. The goal is really about really becoming a master of five elements, but you can learn a lot about your personality by just knowing the digit. And it starts over, like as you mature, they begin to change. You know, all the way back to tree. So a lot of old people are back in their tree phase. So it revolves around the five elements in that sense. But as far as the elements, we learned this in Qigong, how to cultivate each one. So say me, I'm really water, so I may need a little bit of fire in the sense of, and you'll begin to see it, you know, like, when you do something that's really passionate, something you're really passionate about, and you're confident, that's a lot of fire.
All
right. You know, when a person has that, or they're not afraid to do something, they know what they're doing, they know exactly how to do it, and they're confident about it, that's a lot of fire. And the tree people, those are the people that are usually going to cry before anybody else. You know what I'm saying? They just have a lot of emotion, and they're the ones that are like the Mother Teresa type of energy, where they want to help everybody. You know, like my mother's a tree. You know, like very connected to the nature and trees in general, but they always want to heal. You know, they always put others before themselves.
Uh-huh. Wow.
You know, that's a tree. You know, maybe a water person just like, you know, you got to figure it out for yourself. I don't know, you know. and a fire person could just be like, yeah, well, you know, stop crying, you know. So it's just, they're all different, but you can begin to understand a person better in a sense. Just like in astrology. But by learning the element and learning to master each element, you know, that's what a sense of, like, Chinese alchemy is about. You know, learning to master each element. Mm-hmm. Or in Qigong, we cultivate the energy, you know, to like what Aleem describes, to become the ether.
Mm-hmm.
So your accumulation of all the elements, in which your body is, and basically that makes you the ethereal being.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, the ether is fire, somewhat. Ether.
The ether. Well, from what I understand, yeah, the ether is the combination of all those elements.
Oh, right.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
I was saying, Aleem, how much time we got left? Because I wanted to get into decoding some cartoons and...
Go ahead. We got about 45 minutes.
Okay. Okay, so, you know, basically, you know, I've been watching... I could watch these, and I'm telling you, when I say these are some inspirational, metaphysical movies that I grew up on, I can still watch them to this day. I am not lying when I say this. Some of these are some of the most metaphysical movies that I know. One of them that I watched last night was called The Lion King.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah, Aleem, you've seen that, right?
What's the name of it?
Lion King.
The Lion King, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very metaphysical movie.
Oh, yeah.
Very metaphysical movie.
Well, it was about us, for one.
Oh, yeah. starts it off with Mufasa, you know, basically, you know, this Lion King, but very, very... symbolic to the Leo, you know, basically a warrior king type of energy, you know. It starts it out, and it is a whole, everything that I saw in that movie, especially when it had it, and they said that Scar was his brother, and he even said it before Mufasa almost fell into where the wildebeest. He's like, "Help me, brother," and he scratches his paws or his arms or whatever, and he falls and he dies. And he even said that. He even said that, and he kept repeating it in the whole movie. You know, that's Uncle Scar. You know, that's my brother.
Mm-hmm.
So what I saw in that movie, and then of course Simba running away. And the whole thing is he has to avenge his father. I'm like, this story sounds really familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, okay. And then I look at it, Simba is playing, Simba is symbolic to Horus.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes and basically there's this really funny monkey. And basically, you know, he's you know, saying, like, African chants and, you know, just dancing around, really silly looking, that he's a baboon. And he's holding a stick. Reminds me a lot, like, Papa Legba, like, type, I don't know, you know, funny, silly monkey guy, you know, basically comes around and Simba's like, you know, where's my father, you know?
Right,
like,
that's the former Tahuti. Tahuti symbol was a baboon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, they even called him a baboon in the movie. He was holding the stick and everything, and he asked him, he's like, you know, the monkey's just, you know, monkeying around, doing his thing, laughing around. And, you know, Simba's like, you know, can you leave me alone? You know, I'm kind of sad here. And he's like, no, your father is, you don't know who you are. And, you know, and Simba's like, I think you're confused. He says, no, you don't know who you are. Says, I know who you are. You Mufasa's boy. You know, and then he got this really cool voice. And, you know, you're Mufasa's boy. And he's like, Mufasa died. He said, and then he runs, follows him through the jungle, which in this sense is just so symbolic to the subconscious mind, so symbolic. Goes through this whole jungle, and Simba's like, wait, you know my father? Then you know, he's meditating. He says, correction, I know your father.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, I can show him to you if you want to see. And he dips his hand, and, you know, Simba's looking at his reflection, and he's telling him, you know, I can't, it's just my reflection. And he starts to distort the water, and then he says, no, you see, he lives in you.
Mm.
And basically, you know, and then he has the connection with Mufasa, and Mufasa saying, you got to remember who you are. You got to remember who you are. Mm. And that whole movie, I don't care if it was a cartoon, whatever, about a lion, you know, that whole movie was about basically of him becoming the hero, thinking he did something that he had no control over, that he didn't do, and then realized that in the whole movie, it was about him remembering who he was.
Right.
As the monkey revealed to him all this wisdom. So, yeah, I got to say, it was Thoth or Tahuti or Hermes, because I identify with that character. That when you see that archetype, it's the same thing that you'll see when you know, you run into somebody like Yoda.
Uh-huh.
It's
right,
the same
type of... Let's break that down, because Mufasa was on Saw, or Sorrow, Scar was Set, and of course Simba was Heru, and the monkey was Tahuti, or Thoth, as you said, or Hermes Trismegistus.
Right,
so,
okay.
The main characters of the movie, and this is the way in which they have it, and as you said, or Saw, which is Mufasa, lives now within Simba, which is Heru. Because Heru symbolizes the awakened one, which means consciousness, while Asar symbolizes the subconsciousness, the underworld. Okay?
Right.
So these are the different states of mind, beta state and alpha state, in which that we are able to tap into.
Mm-hmm.
And once we tap the subconscious and the underworld, we can actually travel into the infinite palace, or what is known as infinite consciousness, you know.
Right.
Wow.
Which is where he was tapping into, I believe,
right.
It was the Akashic Records, whenever he was looking
Akashic
into the water.
Right. That's what that's about to the ethers, or the
well,
Akashic
the water again. Okay.
And then,
yeah.
Of course, you see Mufasa as a star up in the sky, symbolic to the photonic energy, or the solar,
yep.
Or sun energy, in which that we all are made up from. Scientists say that 300,000 tons of stardust energy forces the planet Earth daily, and that our physical bodies are composed of stardust energy, or stardust particles. So we are a walking, living star.
Right, they kept referring to that in the whole movie. Mufasa told them, you know, basically all the kings or all the great ones, they all became stars. You'll see that common in just most mythology, but you see that it's common to the stars, that they came once they passed on or whatever, that they became a star. I remember somebody breaking it down somewhere and was saying that the soul, that when somebody looks up into the sky and they see a star, that some have not actually fallen completely down to Earth, and what they call avatars.
Okay, the airbenders.
Yeah, similar like that. Like.
Okay.
Yeah. And so very, 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 very metaphysical movie.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I didn't catch all that when I was little.
Oh, no.
And I got to remind people, because people are like, you know, why watching kids Disney movies? I'm saying because we got to remember these were created by adults with an adult mind.
That's right.
So anything telling you that you shouldn't watch it is stupid. It's they were created with an adult mind for
you're
children.
You're so right about that.
But they were created with an adult mind.
Right.
So anybody can watch it. Another one I would go into, one of my favorite was Hercules. Hercules is, of course, who you see Greek mythology, but you can link it back to the Egyptians. Once again, you know, Hercules and the whole movie, basically his whole origin, what he wanted to do is become a hero. He was to become a hero. That was his whole thing. And the only way that he could become a hero, you know, he did some things, but the only way that Zeus would let him in and say, you have to look within. You got to find it within yourself. Because when he first started, when he first was a baby, you know, Hades comes in there, starts messing up shit at Mount Olympus, and you know, and just, you know, doing his own thing. And Zeus is real cool with Hades. You know, Zeus is like, you know, how's it going in the land of the dead? You know, what's going on? You know, and but basically, what happened is, Hades created this potion, basically, to take the godhood from Hercules and his god strength to make him mortal. So he drinks it. You actually see in the movie, you'll see it. There's these two characters. You'll see one's called Pan, and one's called Panic. And you'll see both of these two demon-looking, you know, characters, and they'll turn into snakes. And then you'll see little baby Hercules. He wrestles them and ties them in a knot. So basically, you know, symbolic to the Kundalini.
Uh-huh.
And also the serpent wrestler, in a sense. But this is when he was a baby. And then basically he gets to planet Earth. Same type of thing. He's born on a farm. Same type of thing you see with Jesus. But he has this God strength about him. Remember, a human being with this God strength. And, you know, they won't let him near palaces, you know, anywhere. Mm-hmm. Because he's just breaking shit, you know. And you know, they get afraid of him. But basically, he goes all the way, finds this big statue of Zeus, saying, you know, how can I be at one with the gods? You know, how can I be a god? How can I? And, you know, Zeus tells him, you have to learn and become a hero. You have to become a hero.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the whole movie was about. You have to become a hero. So he finds, and I find this very funny, because it reminds me so much of Brother Panic. I don't know why, but he goes and he looks in the forest, and he sees, you know, basically this, what they call a satyr, which is basically like a man and a goat kind of together, kind of a form of a man and a goat. And he's chasing fairies and whatever. And he trains heroes or trains gods. But he's saying every one of the ones that I trained were all disappointments. You know, Achilles with a heel, just different things, you know. They were all disappointments. But he's like, you know, but he gets struck by lightning when he's making fun of Hercules. And then basically he trains Hercules. And Hercules wins you know, a pretty big battle and gets a lot of fame. So he runs back to Zeus and he's saying, look, I'm an action figure. You know, why can't I be a hero? He's like, I'm sorry, I'm afraid being famous isn't the same as being a true hero. You know, it wasn't only until when he went into the underworld to save his girlfriend, at which where he risked his life, same type of thing that you see, and then he'd say, you know, a true hero doesn't come by the mind, but it's not by the strength of his body or his biceps, but by the strength of his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we remember how the Egyptians put such an importance on the heart.
Yeah, they did.
And how and how they would throw away the brain, but they would always, yeah, they would always keep the heart. And so in that sense, the whole type of thing, of course, I'm pretty sure that's self-explanatory. I mean, it's a story of Horus, again, just told in another, they, you know, the only difference is, you know, they changed the names and they call it Greek. But it's the same story. You know, I'm pretty sure, I mean, Hades is symbolic to Set, right?
Yep.
Okay, right.
Because you can correspond.
Hades.
Yeah. You can correspond. See, that's the thing about it. And I'm sure Aleem's done it like 1,000 times. But when you can correspond so well and say, okay, well, when I see this and I know that Scar is set here and I know that Hades is set there, you just corresponding and you're like, oh, wait, this is the same story. And which where it seems that all stories, mythologies come from, in a sense. And another thing I say, also in Dragon Ball, they have what was called the Nimbus Cloud, which is this magical cloud. And Master Roshi couldn't even write it, you know, because I don't know if he just looked at too much Playboy or what it was, but he couldn't ride the cloud. you know, Bulma couldn't ride it because, you know, she was just too cranky, too much of a bitch, you know, to ride it. But little Goku was, you know, jumping on the cloud and everything, and Master Roshi said, you can only ride this, you know, if you're pure of heart. Once again, with the heart thing, saying that he can only ascend to the highest, and that this is why I think I emphasize with the power thing, because it's like you're not gonna get to the highest level, you know, at least of spirituality, you know, by showing off. I think is what I'm saying. It's not the sense. You know, you are powerful and you want to be powerful and you will be powerful, but I'm saying in the sense that it's not about showing off. All these, you know, heroes that got to the point that they were in the story was all because they did something from the heart, or they had pure of heart. And they weren't trying to be better than anybody, really.
Okay,
you know, they
right.
were just trying to figure out their whole, the reason, you know, how did I get here? How did I get on this planet, and what am I supposed to do, and how can I get some answers, you know?
Right.
And, of course, little Goku on the Nimbus Cloud, we can always look at that as, you know, whenever a person's meditating, you know, you're on your Nimbus Cloud, you know, and whenever you're meditating. And I also have to look at this in the sense of whenever a character turns what they call Super Saiyan or learns to turn that on, it's basically, you know, you visualizing yourself in golden light. But also whenever you raise the Kundalini, that to me is the Super Saiyan. You know, all these different type of things to be superhuman, all of that is cultivating your own chi, prana,
mm-hmm.
and being and just evolving, you know.
Right.
And we're gonna go into one more if we have enough time, Aline.
Go ahead.
All right. So of course, Dragon Ball. Of course, where we have the seven balls symbolizing the chakras, and whenever the dragon would come out. Also, whenever they turn into that monkey, there's also a monkey. You read about, I think in the story, it was basically what Dragon Ball was based on was this monkey called Sun Wukong.
Okay.
And Sun Wukong was basically represent this kind of chaos energy that would just kind of go up, go into heaven when everybody was like, you know, I'm saying namaste and I'm doing all my mantras and, you know, Om Mani Padme Hum, and Sun Wukong just comes in there just fuck shit up and saying, nah, I know what I'm doing here. You know, just, you know, monkey. You know, like, you know, like, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you know. But, so basically a good part of Dragon Ball was based on Sun Wukong, but we gotta remember this in Dragon Ball. Even since Goku was born, all he really knew was martial arts and karate.
Uh-huh.
He didn't learn anything to do with chi until he met what was called Master Mutai Ito. He didn't know anything about chi or Super Saiyan or any of that. You know, he pretty much thought he was a human. Mm-hmm.
He don't learn all the other parts of martial arts except the most important part. That's
right.
What I'm saying? Yes, okay.
Right. He didn't even know he was a Saiyan until weird things started happening to him, like him turning into an ape and a certain type of thing. He didn't know that he accidentally killed his grandpa when he looked into the moon. And also, anytime that you see a monkey, you know, I think Aleem even said this one time. Whenever you see, it's that same kind of character. Like, I swear, when you see Rafiki in Lion King, or when you see this type of guy that's giving wisdom, or, you know, just speaking, like, words of wisdom, or just an old, funny-ass man, that's the same that you'll see with Yoda. That's the same type of character. I swear, you see him.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can't really tell the difference between Yoda and the monkey in
okay, well,
and
I
the Lion
thought,
King.
Well, I thought Yoda and the monkey was always synonymous. No,
they are.
Yeah, that's what I
they
was
are
talking.
In that. Right. You also see Yoda carry a stick.
Right.
Yeah, you see Yoda carry a stick, and it's that same character, Tahuti. Of course, if you look, I think it's still Papa Legba, but I'm not sure if Papa Legba is symbolic to the wisdom. I'm not sure. But it's that same type of, you always see him. But the funny thing about it is when I began to look at these, you know, because I could look at Aleem and I was like, Aleem is straight Horus, you know, type of energy, type of, you know, always on a adventure, always on a journey,
mm-hmm.
always trying to be, always, you know, that hero type of thing. I can see that.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
Me.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
When I look at myself, I'm like, I identify with Yoda so much. You know, people keep tagging me in these Yoda pictures, and I'm just like, you know, but when I look at it, I'm like, that's so me, you know. People always ask me, when they ask me advice, and I'll say it in some type of funny-ass way that, you know, they'll be like, what does that mean? You know, but it's that same type of energy, and we'll always see that. So you will also see Master Roshi, who's a real cool guy. He's just real perverted, you know, and he likes to look at Playboy and all that. But but you know, for somebody that practices martial arts all day and trains, you know, Shaolin monks and all that, you know, I mean, who can blame, you know? But Master Roshi, yeah, you'll see that same, it's that same type of character. And then what I began to realize is that, you know, because there are so many stories and because there's so many mythologies, just like when you do, you know, whenever you do a tarot reading, and because everything represents something in the universe and something that relates to you, that you're able to divine or look into the future or get some answers, I realize that you can do the same thing with these movies because they all, you know, you can't pick a zillion archetypes. There's only so many archetypes
right.
that you can pick, which is either, you know, like we see, say, the hero, the mentor,
right.
The villain, the, you know, the princess that always needs to get saved. There's so many stories where you see that same thing. So I'm saying, you know, in life, just like you look at it, just like in a movie, we have to look at that also within life and look at it, who are we playing? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Which character is, which archetype really resonates with me? Because that's who I came to be once I really recognized it.
Right. I always thought myself as, you know, recognize with Haru or Horus, you know. Because I always
right.
feel like I have to, I don't know what they call, save the day.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to my family members, stuff, friends, stuff like that.
Right. Which is always that that Horus or that Hercules or that hero type of energy. You know, Aleem has said it many times. Anytime you see a story about a hero, it's usually a story about, you know, Horus or Heru.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So when we look at this, and you can see this within movies, and you can see this within the cartoons, you can definitely see it, you know. Whenever we see something like Pegasus, you know, I'm not saying that we're waiting for somebody to come down, you know, like Aleem said, you know, on a cloud or something, you know, this goddamn mythical white man, you're riding right
exactly.
fucking Pegasus
the
coming
white
down
heart.
The stage.
You know, that man.
Right. But Pegasus, when we look at it in a symbolic sense and stop saying, okay, you know, I'm waiting for a white horse with wings to come save me, and saying, look at it in a symbolic sense, wait, you know, Pegasus, well, how does Pegasus relate to me in this day and time? Well, I know that Pegasus is symbolic to the hippocampus area, the white horse. But also when you see a horse or you see unicorn, we got to remember, you know, unicorn, not trying to look at something that just like, you know, young girls enjoy looking at or playing with unicorns, but unicorn and universe, okay? So what is the corn? What is it that it is and it's symbolic to the pineal gland? When you see the horn, And it's magical, mystical.
Right.
And when
unicorn
you see
is the horn. Corn is the horn.
Exactly.
You know, that's I guess you can tell I did a little studying and a lot of astrology and
symbology.
Right.
So, you know.
Right, the unicorn, and not many of them are to be found if they ever existed.
Right.
But that's not, if not many of them are meant to be found, you know, then, I mean, it's the same. So we can see this in, and this has nothing to do, you know, if so many people are going to spend so much time, you know, focus on allegories and trying to figure out if, you know, Yeshua walked on water or Moses split the Red Sea or something, we'll get a little bit more out of watching these Disney movies. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
We'll get a lot more. Because I'm saying, when I'm seeing all these different things and how all these movies convey a message, and is one of the ways that I'm starting to see is the way that spirit talks.
Exactly.
One of the ways that spirit talks. So when you watch certain these movies, it's no different than you going through an initiation or a ritual, and that's why at the end of the movie you feel like, oh, well, that movie really made me feel like Neo. You know, this movie really made me feel like I'm somebody, you know.
Uh-huh.
This movie may inspired me.
Right.
And so that's what a movie's supposed to do. So when we watch movies, we got to remember this, or cartoons. Now, I got to break down something that's important as far as what a cartoon is, because we know that cartoon is animation.
Right.
But when we break down the word animal or anime, is the spirit, is the soul, is the psyche. I think Carl Jung put it as animus.
Okay.
I think that's, isn't that what it's called, Aleem?
Yeah.
The animus. And so these symbols, because this is the way spirit talks, these pictures, this light is speaking to the soul. And if it's in a cartoon, it's animated, but this the same type of thing. If you can have an hour playing with an action figure and you're doing something internally, you know, to the mind, then if it's affecting you emotionally, I'm not going to lie, yo, when I watched The Lion King yesterday and I saw Scar do that,
uh-huh,
I almost dropped a tear, you know?
Man, wow, okay.
So this is showing that even though they're cartoons, even if it's not, you know, necessarily historical in a sense, but it's still affecting us.
Yeah.
We got to look at these different...
You're really feeling what a movie is talking about. And that's why you dropped a tear, because you're really feeling it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know what they say it in Texas or not, but here in St. Louis they say, hey, you feel me? You know, do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
right. So that's the term they use, you know. And that's what you were doing. You were feeling the symbology of the science of that movie. And,
exactly.
You was in tune.
And basically, when I say that, so I'm saying, you know, if people take these allegories literal, then you can look at how much emotion that they're really, you know, putting into it. But what I'm saying, the type of things is, let this emotion be for something positive. You know, let this emotion, because this is energy in motion. And dealing with the chakra system, and the important thing is to look and say, well, okay, when I'm reading all this, how does this correlate with me and my mind and the body? And when we begin to look at it like that, and we watch these movies, I'm telling you, yo, I may watch. What'd you say, Aleem?
I was telling you, you got 20 minutes left.
Oh, okay. All right. I was like, I jump out of time when I'm doing these things.
Oh, that's all right. I'm enjoying it, man.
Yeah, so basically when it comes to these, you know, I might watch Beauty and the Beast for the first time, you know, after this. If I'm getting breakthroughs from just watching these Disney movies, and we really don't want to go into, you know, like, you know, is this used for mind control and a certain type of things? When these things were created for kids and this type of thing, we just want to look at the what is empowering us from this. When I watched Hercules, this whole thing was talking about the golden age, which that's what I understand. That's the age that we just went into, that we're in right now, is the golden age. Of course, in a good portion of Hercules, they were talking about the Titan, and the Titans were actually let out of the vault that they were kept in, and I think I forgot who was it, but said that the Titans were symbolic to, because they were older than the gods.
Oh, right.
So I know how. I think Brother Panic or somebody else said it, and you know, we call ourselves gods and goddesses, but the oldest ones are actually the Titans. Are supposed to be the Titans, and which they were formed out of chaos. But
wow.
Chaos.
All right.
Chaos, not in the sense that we're just saying somebody's just going mad. It's in the sense where you still see that baboon energy, or, you know, you know, kind of cuckoo-ness, but this cuckoo-ness creates great, great things, inventions, beautiful things, beautiful music. You know, I think Public Enemy is probably a good example, just being creative, just letting that chaos that creates something, you know, great, in the sense of creation. But as far as Dragon Ball, there's so many things that, of course, that we've seen with the cat and with Goku climbs up the tower. You know, Goku's looking into the water. He had to catch this cat. You know, this cat, once again, had a stick. You know, this cat had a stick, and he had to chase him probably about 2 or 3 days trying to catch this cat. Said once you catch this cat, you can have a taste of the miracle water. And basically, once he looks into the water, you know, Goku's like, ah, you know, that tripped me out. And then the cat's like, well, relax, man. You just had a vision, you know.
Mm.
And this is a really old cat. Wise cat. I'm telling you, there's no difference between that cat that you see and the baboon or Tahuti. It's the same type of thing that I see with Yoda. It's the same type of character. But basically what I've been seeing is basically what they've been doing is what is called scrying.
Uh-huh.
And Aline broke down the science to me yesterday. Basically, when you're looking into a reflection, or usually in the dark, you'll see it into a mirror, looking at, you know, deep into an object with a reflection, that you begin to see pictures, or you'll begin to see symbols that convey a message to you, really of your conscious mind,
right,
that will convey a message to you. So this is the same thing that Simba was doing in The Lion King. If you actually,
wow,
you know, check out the scene, that's what he's doing. But I don't know where this is coming from, but this is a breakthrough that I realized with the scrying. And just because I've seen it in these movies and these different things, you always see, you know, witches looking into a bowl of water all these different types of things. All the theories that supposedly rule this universe, or all the theories that, you know, that came from the great, so-called great intellectuals, you know, like Albert Einstein, Isaac Newton, they all got this, what we call to be science, which is basically the word science means knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Where they got this knowledge from was every scientist admits this. In fact, you know, I wasn't told this when I was going to school. It just made science look like it was boring. It was invented by a whole bunch of white people.
Right.
It was just boring to me. But all these great sciences came from altered states of consciousness. Everything that we know, all these theories, all these types of things, from theory of relativity to E equals MC squared, to which all conveys that everything is merely energy. Even the string theory is saying that everything is still energy. They're just made of strings, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you said a lot of these altered, these states of all the states of mind and energies, all that was have been altered.
Right.
Okay.
Right. These are the so-called theories, right? And of course, you know, theo means God. So they were trying to get into contact with God, and through these altered state of consciousness, through channeling, is where we got these theories that became, you know, the whole of the law. These theories.
Wow.
Which are still theories.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, like, they could be proven, but the theory of relativity is saying that, well, it's still relative. Yeah, we know that the planets revolve around the sun and they maintain an orbit, but it's still a theory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, remember that something's holding planets, whether it be chi or something's the force, you know, something is holding the planets. How does the sun know that Jupiter is there? You know what I'm saying? So these different things. But as far as I've seen with the movies, if the people that listen to the show could get into it if they haven't already, begin to scry and just see just kind of what pops up. You know, the goal is to see your higher self and to see basically that your higher self when you're looking into the mirror. But you'll see it on many of these things. You know, I think it was Snow White or something. They had a magic mirror. You know, mirror on the wall, find the greatest of them all.
Right.
All these different types of sciences, and which the only thing that makes it really that much different from the physical is that they're animated. You know, but you can make, if you can create a thought form that you know, is living and able to do things for you, in a sense, then why can't you, you know, you can make your, you know, just like you see in the cartoons, you can make your damn teapot, you know, you could talk to your teapot, you know, it's you that gives it life, you know.
Wow.
So I really think it's important, and just because, you know, all these different things, you know, to raise our frequency. But to remember that we can always look to the other side for answers. And all these cartoons are saying the same message. In fact, when you watch these, you will always get some type of hint. And there's no going past that. There's something greater than, you know, what we've been told.
Okay, exactly.
You know, in fact, in Hercules, you know, at the end, they made him they made Hercules into a star, which, you know, symbolic to, you know, Ophicius. Like I said, the baby wrestling with the serpent in the movie, and that's symbolic. And then, of course, whenever we see the underworld, symbolic to the subconscious mind, because that's where all our fears and everything that we love and or are afraid of exists within the subconscious mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm beginning to see is, because everything that I've seen that, you know, even psychology wasn't even looked at as a true science.
No, not really, no.
Not even psychology, but psychology is the closest to dealing with the soul, because it taps into a person's subconscious mind. This is where you'll see, you know, of course, you'll see Sigmund Freud. Basically, he has this theory, like, all types of repressed memories come from sexual repression or whatever. And Carl Jung's like, hell nah. I mean, there's so much more to life, you know, than just, you know, everything coming from sexual urges, you know.
Right.
And then Carl Jung was like, you know, I'm going to go as deep as I can into this, you know what I mean?
Right.
And they can't leave sex out of it. Right, and find out what it was, and really embrace individuality. So while men were wearing suits and everything, Carl Jung was just like, you know, wear whatever the fuck you want to wear, you know. Pull your pants up, though, but yeah, you know. But, you know, and embrace that. But what you're finding is, and that's what I went through on the breakdown of anime and animus and cartoon and animation, is all speaking to the soul. All of
right.
it is speaking
that's,
to the soul.
No doubt about it. That's spirit. And, of course, spirit is called nefesh, or neph within Hebrew and Arabic. And, of course, soul is called ruach, or ruah, within Hebrew and Arabic. So when you talk about animate, you're talking about the lower nature itself, in a sense, which is actually the four lower chakras, which is called the four devils, which that actually gives life to you on this plane of existence.
Wow.
Without the lower chakras, you're supposed to be an ethereal being. You wouldn't have a physical body. All
right?
So these chakras is what formed us into physical existence, and in particular the reddish one, which is the lowest chakra, which is called the base of root chakra, in which that animates all life aspects from this realm. You know, so that's the reason why they say that this is the world of the devil, is because, you know, because of that red root chakra, you know. So the devil,
right,
as they told us, you know, dressed in red, had a red cape, red horns, red pitchfork. And not knowing to realize that the pitchfork symbolizes the middle, as you said, the middle pillar, or the pillar itself symbolizes the kundalini, or the area once the kundalini raised up, which is the spinal column. And then the two snakes in which that you talked about within Hercules symbolizes the Eden and the Pingala, which are called the snakes of fuck, or the black or white serpent, in which that's what those three prongs on the pitchfork symbolize of Satan, or of the devil. You know, all of that is talking about that energy within us, in which that, of course, the devil, being that he has horns, symbolizes horniness. So when we get psychic, we say, oh, horns. So all of that is talking about the same, and that nature is talking about the kundalini itself, when it's at the base of root chakra, when it's resonating there. It's only through causing an uprise of energy, an upswelling of energy, that it moved from 19 degrees north, from south to 19 degrees north, in which that's what the resurrection of us saw. So, in that sense, the kundalini symbolizes our sex, you know what I'm saying? And then she awakened our soul, and that divine marriage in heaven creates
Heru or Horus, you know, which is the awakened soul, you know, which is within each and every one of us, you know, who do not have classified pineal gland.
Right.
So, I just wanted to get that in because you talk about the unicorn. And of course, the unicorn horn symbolizes that horny nature, which that we can use in order to produce and activate the hypocampus area of the brain, you know, in which that gives us psychic abilities. You know?
Right. Well, the same as Pegasus. Somebody come down on a white horse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
The pitchfork.
Also unicorn. Go ahead.
Yeah,
pitchfork.
Go ahead, kid.
Oh, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, the pitchfork. I thought symbolic of the triple fire or the Trinity.
Right.
Okay, that's what
right.
I thought.
That's
okay.
The Trinity is the three higher chakras. The throat
right.
symbolizes word made flesh, which is symbolic or representative of Jesus. The third eye, which is actually the pituitary gland in that sense, as they refer to it as, is some occult information. It's symbolic to, you know, the mother principle, and which is the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the activated pineal gland, which leads to the fourth eye, is symbolic to or saw awakening and becoming Heru, incarnated, since the divine soul, which is at the crown chakra, which symbolizes the father principle. So hence you have the son, the Holy Spirit, and the father, which is the three higher chakras, which is symbolic to your immortal body, flesh.
Hmm.
You know, so that's what that is symbolic to, is your immortal bodies will survive death. Within the ancient Hermetic teachings, that would be what is known as the Ba, which is the soul, the Ka, which is the spirit, which is symbolic to the mother principle, and then, of course, the Aku, which is symbolic to the throat or the word made flesh, which is, you know, that particular chakra center. So those three survive death after. Those are the three higher aspects of the seven Elohims, or the seven eyes of Allah, or the seven churches, or the seven chakras, or the seven seals of Allah.